Okay. I believe with all my heart as we begin this morning that it's the grace of God that changes people's lives. And I have a great joy and delight this morning to put before you once again, although I feel certain inadequacies to be able to do this, but to put before you once again the wonderful life-changing grace of God. And we pray that by the Holy Spirit quickening our hearts, we will get a taste once more afresh of God's grace and its effect in our lives. So with that, let's pray. Father, we just pray together. Oh, each one of us, we join our hearts from our homes, wherever we're listening from this morning. We quiet our hearts. We look to you. We thank you that with all of the things that we have going on in our lives, we thank you that at the very heart of it, we are believers. We are your children, part of your family. And you have a great calling and purpose on our lives. And we thank you for that. Oh, we pray that you administer to our hearts and quicken us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:9, I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of Christ. But I am what I am by the grace of God. And the grace bestowed upon me was not in vain, for I labored more abundantly than them all. There's three parts in those couple of verses there. The first part is he says, I am not worthy to be called an apostle. I was persecuting the church. He very much frames his condition, his standing, his past as one who was so undeserving of any recognition, of any grace, of any calling from God. I am not worthy to be called an apostle. He says, I am the least of the apostles. But then he says, but I am what I am by the grace of God. Despite this, I am an apostle, and I'm an apostle by the grace of God. I don't deserve it, and I fully recognize that it is by God's grace. And then the third part, I labor more abundantly than them all. And even then, he recognizes, yet not I, but the grace of God that is with me. So I am not worthy. But I am what I am by the grace of God, and grace had an effect in my life, that I became one who labored more abundantly, who served, who went on with God to be used by God. A similar passage in Ephesians 3:8, where Paul says, to me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. And we can see those three parts there also. Here he says, to me who am less than the least of all the saints. And then he says, is this grace given? And then the third part, that I should preach among the Gentiles. You see it? I was less than the least of all the saints, and yet this grace was given to me that I would preach to the Gentiles. And then we can see a third parallel passage in 1 Timothy 1:13. Paul says, I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, an insolent man, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant. You hear that? The grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. However, for this reason I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show all long-suffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life. And we can also see those three parts. First of all, he says, formerly I was a blasphemer, a persecutor, an insolent man. chief among sinners. The second part, but I obtained mercy, and the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant towards me. And we consider that on his encounter on the Damascus Road in Acts 9. Here is Saul of Tarsus, the persecutor, equipped and with zeal in his heart to want to persecute the church and drag Christians into prison and unto their death. And yet on that road, the grace of the Lord was exceedingly abundant towards the Apostle Paul. For grace interrupted his life, for grace pursued him, and grace found him, and grace saved him. Grace changed him, and grace used him. And that's the third part here we see that he would become a pattern, showing forth the long suffering of Christ as a pattern to all those who would believe. Like us this morning, considering that pattern, considering the model in the Apostle Paul's life and in the lives of countless others in the biblical accounts and also in our lives and in our world and in church history. We have seen the grace of God change people's lives. We put these passages together and we see Paul say, I am the least of the apostles, not worthy to be called an apostle. I am less than the least of the saints. And then the third time he says, I am the chief of sinners. That's quite a description of yourself, isn't it? The least of the apostles, less than the least of all the saints. And finally, I am the chief of all sinners. And yet God's grace was abundant towards me. And grace was not in vain at the end of verse 10 in chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians. He says, and the grace of God that was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but rather it had a great effect. I was one who labored more abundantly than them all. When grace got a hold of my life, when my eyes were open to the one who was the source of grace, the giver of grace, and I saw his heart towards me and how he loved me and had a plan for my life, oh, when grace got a hold of my life, it was all different from then on. My life was changed, and grace changes lives. Now you may say, well, okay, we're not apostles this morning. We weren't persecuting the church, of course, but the model and the principle is the same, that each one of you this morning, each one of us, oh, these words can fit so beautifully in the lips of every Christian this morning. I am what I am by the grace of God, because I can say I am a Christian. I am a saint. I am a son and daughter of God. I am God's beloved. I am part of the family of God. I am in Christ. I have been given a destiny. I am crowned with his loving kindness. Oh, I am what I am by the grace of God today. And how often we need to hit the pause button and start our mornings that way and take times each day to hit the pause button and say, oh, I am what I am. What am I? I am a Christian. What am I? I am free. I am forgiven. I am loved. What am I? I am God's beloved. I am his child. I am a Christian. And I am what I am by the grace of God. And that awareness keeps your heart. Paul was aware of the grace of God every day in his life. He would consider those three things: what I was, but the grace of God that came to me, and what I am. What I was, the grace of God, and what I am. That awareness and that reflection and that consciousness was in Paul's life every day in his heart. And so should it be in ours, that we hit the pause button and we say, oh, I was, but the grace of God, and I am. And that keeps your heart. It keeps your heart humble. It keeps your heart thankful. It keeps your heart after God. And it will set your heart aright. Many people, sadly, many Christians live in condemnation every day. They condemn themselves for the things that they do not do. Oh, but it's better to be aware of the grace of God every day and to realize Romans 8:1, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. And I am in Christ. I was in Adam, but the grace of God, and I am in Christ. I was condemned, but the grace of God, and now I'm justified. And therefore, there is no condemnation in my heart and in my life. 1 John 3:20, if your heart condemn you, God is greater than your heart and knows all things. And John 5:24, we are passed from condemnation into life. And when I understand that as a grace believer who is illuminated, who is learning, growing in grace, loving this book, I am delivered. And I learn how to orientate my life in grace every day. I do not live in condemnation. I do not live in guilt that does not have its rightful place in my life. I do not live in the fears and insecurities that come from the flesh. We taste them, but they do not dominate our life, because rather we are grace believers. We think differently, we live differently, we speak differently, we act differently, because we are different. Grace has changed our lives. It's very simple, but it's very powerful. Think of these verses, Ephesians 1:7. We have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to what? Hello? According to what? According to the riches of his grace. Oh, there it is. We have redemption and forgiveness according to the riches of his grace. Oh, that's beautiful. Ephesians 2:8, for by grace you are saved through faith and not of yourselves. It is what? It is the gift of God. Oh, but we have been given that gift. 2 Timothy 1:9, he has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works. Oh, listen to this. But according to what? His own purpose and grace. Do you see that? Oh, that's so beautiful. I was the grace of God, I am. I was lost, but the grace of God, I am found. I was blind, but the grace of God, and now I see. It's so wonderful. I can't believe it. I remember the day that I got saved, or maybe may we reflect on that often. I think it's said of Spurgeon, I think it's 280 times in his sermons, he reflected on the day that he became a believer. And I remember it, walking into that little Bible study, and the first time I ever heard the gospel, the first time anyone had ever explained the meaning of why Christ died on the cross, and they displayed grace and put it before me, and I said, oh, I believe. I believe. Oh, and grace got a hold of my life and changed my life. And within 6 months of being a believer, I had such a hunger. I was growing in my awareness of grace, and I went to Bible college in America, of all places. I ended up in America in a Bible college, and there was foreign students there from India and Pakistan and Sweden and Finland and all the countries you could imagine. And we found ourselves walking the halls of this Bible college and sitting in the classes, listening to the teaching and the preaching, and our lives being changed, our hearts being filled, the grace of God setting us free. And we could say, oh, I was, but I am. I was, but the grace of God, and now I am. Called by him, used by him, blessed by him. Oh, what an incredible thing. And over those years in my life, there was a dawning of grace. 2 Peter 3:18, growing in the grace and the knowledge of Christ, growing in his grace. And I say to people when they come into the fellowship, listen, when you come through the doors and you take a seat and you listen, you will grow in your understanding and you will grow in your faith. You will grow in your understanding of grace and God's heart and what Christ has done for you. And by the Spirit of God, may it get a hold of your heart and give you orientation and purpose and blessing in your life. and you will grow in your faith, in your relationship with Him. When I was in Bible school, I was part of a singing group. We were called Frontline, and we would go across different states and different countries, and we would sing, you know, do evangelical conference concerts and things like that. I remember one time we went up to Hartford, Connecticut, and with the singing group, we were singing on the street in different places, and we went into a prison because one of the pastors in the little church there, he had a ministry in the prison, and we went in there, and we sang, and there was preaching, and afterwards, the pastor said to me, I'll never forget it, he said, oh, you know what? When one of these men, and many of them are in there for taking, you know, for murder or manslaughter or whatever, and he said, when one of these men, when they become believers, when the grace of God gets a hold of their life, oh, it's so powerful, because there is a depth in the mercy of God that they connect to in such a powerful way. They understand that they have sinned much, and therefore they love much, and their lives take a turn. He said it's a very powerful thing, and perhaps that's why God used three murderers to write most of the Bible, and it got my attention. And I thought about that, Moses and David and Saul of Tarsus. That God, he said, they could say, oh, I was, but the grace of God, I am. God took their life. And when they spoke about grace, they weren't just words. It wasn't just the theology. When they took steps of faith, or they were believing God that by His grace, He could use them through His redemption. It's an amazing principle. And unbeknown to me, when I was in Bible college, some of those men from that prison became believers and even came to the same Bible college as me. And there was a young man in my dorm. We lived in this old house, and there was about seven or eight of us from America, a few different countries. And one of the guy who was the head of the dorm, I just knew that he had come from that prison in Hartford, but I didn't know his story. And one night, we're sitting at the kitchen table. It's about 1 a.m. And he pulled up a chair and he said, hey, I've been thinking, you know, I know that you know what I was and what happened, but maybe you don't know why I ended up in prison. Maybe I should share my story with you. And I thought, okay, tell me. And his story was that he was completely drunk one night. He was driving his car and he came off the road and he had a head-on collision with another car. And there was a young couple that both died instantly on the scene, and he ended up in prison because of that. He was encouraged later, at least, to find out that those two were Christians. But nevertheless, there was so much guilt in his life. He was so heavy, so riddled with guilt. He said it was like a weight upon me. And then that pastor came into the prison. He said, I found myself in a little Bible study. And I couldn't listen, I couldn't receive. But one day somehow I managed to look up and listen. And I heard about the finished work of Christ and the mercy of God and the grace that was extended to me. And he said, and in my heart I believed. And he said, it was like a weight that came off of my, physically came off me. And of course, my life was changed. I understood I was paying the penalty for my crime, and rightly so, but I also understood I was forgiven and I was free. And then he went down to Bible school and we were in that dorm together. He's an amazing man. He went on to be a missionary in Chile, and he still has that ministry today, and a beautiful family. I love that man and that amazing story. For grace changes lives. Redemption buys back that which would be written off and makes it something beautiful in His kingdom. There's a story of C.T. Studd, and you can read about him. He was a famous cricketer who became a missionary, born 1860 through to 1931 when he died. And he was in Eton and Cambridge and different colleges, and he played cricket on a professional level. And God got a hold of his life. There was a preacher who spoke to him and he said, "Oh, do you believe the Bible? Yes. Do you believe Jesus? I believe he died on the cross. But do you believe in his promise extended to you for eternal life?" And in that moment, he believed. And I got it written down. He said, "I got on my knees and I said, 'Thank you to God.' And right there and then, joy and peace came into my soul. I knew then what it was to be born again. And the Bible that had been so dry to me before became my everything." For this Bible was opened up to him. And he realized, this was his lifeline, that this was how he could grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ through this word, permeating his heart and his soul and his life and becoming a man used by the grace of God. We remember in the Bible, Zacchaeus had taken money from people wrongfully in Luke 19. But grace came into his life. Grace came to his house that day. Grace said to him, "Oh, today salvation is here, Zacchaeus." And Zacchaeus believed, and his life was changed. And he wanted to give back. He wanted to minister. Why? Not because of the law, but because of grace. There's another story in 2 Chronicles 33 of a man called Manasseh. He was one of the most evil kings in Israel's history, one of the Judean kings of the south, the son of good King Hezekiah, yet he became so evil. And for 55 years he reigned, and in the kingdom there was so much bloodshed, so much heartache under his harsh reign. And he paid for it. Because eventually he was taken into a captivity into Babylon. They put a hook through his lip and he was led as an animal through the street with a chain. And that great king found himself in a low, dark, deep dungeon. But grace was there. Because in that dungeon, it says he looked up and he pleaded with God. He said, "Oh, will you hear my prayer? Will you forgive me?" And these amazing words, it says, and he was entreated that God heard him and God answered him, and grace flooded that dungeon, flooded that cell, flooded that man's heart. And these amazing words, it says, and Manasseh knew that the Lord was God. And Manasseh's life changed and he was delivered back to his kingdom. What an amazing redemption story. For there is no sinner too lost, no sinner too far, that the grace of God cannot find them and reach them and change their life. I remember when we did youth ministry in Hungary, and we met in a place called the White Hole. And it was a basement of this big building. It used to be called the Black Hole. It was one of the most notorious nightclubs in all of Budapest, where there was drugs and stabbings and fights all the time. And in the end, they shut the place down. And our church, we inherited that building. And in the basement, in the dungeon, so to speak, they said to me, "Here's a youth center if you want." So we got out the white paint, and all through the night we painted that place, and the black hole became the white hole. And we did music concerts down there, and so many young people came and heard the gospel. I remember one such girl. She was very resistant at first. She was very cautious and wasn't sure. She only came because her sister came to the youth meeting, her older sister. But this young girl, the grace of God just began to seep into her heart, into her life, and she began to listen. And she heard, she began to understand the gospel, the heart of God. And she came again and came again, and she became a core member of the youth Bible study. And she's an amazing person today. She went to Bible college, and now she's a missionary in Oman. And she sends me pictures to this very day of being up in the mountainous villages and on the streets with these precious locals. And she's there ministering the gospel to them, telling them about the grace of God. How amazing that is. That grace changes people's lives. Remember the woman at the well in John 4? She was amazed because Jesus spoke to her in 4:9. She said of John, "How is it that you speak to me? And what she meant was, how is it that you, a Jewish man, would speak to me, a Samaritan woman? Oh, but it's greater than that. It's the great God of all would speak to you, a great sinner. It's that the God of grace would speak to the chief of sinners. That's what's amazing, that grace is extended to each one, that no one is too far, no one is too lost, no life is too bankrupt, no life is too broken, that the grace of God cannot find it and redeem it and change it. You may remember the story of Onesimus. We'll close with this. He was a runaway slave. His master was Philemon. That's the book of Philemon in the New Testament is this story. And Philemon was in the church of Colossae. He knew the apostle Paul. And Paul was oversaw his, that beautiful work and knew Philemon. And Philemon, because it was part of the culture in the Roman Empire, had a servant in his house. His name was Onesimus. And one day Onesimus stole from his master and he ran, he fled. He went to Rome to try and hide in the great city of Rome. And after time in the providence of God, you know who he met? He met the apostle Paul, who was in house arrest, in prison in Rome. Someone said, Onesimus, there's someone you got to meet. And he takes him to Paul. And we don't know the full story, but somehow Paul heard of his past. He heard, oh, Colossae, I know Philemon. And Paul writes a letter and he gives it to Onesimus. He says, take it back. Onesimus goes back to Philemon. He shows him the letter. There is forgiveness. There is reconciliation. Onesimus finds himself sitting in the church in Colossae. And there is Philemon and his wife and the other people in the church. And he says, oh, I am Onesimus. I was by the grace of God and I am. And Paul even writes that he uses a play on words there, because the word Onesimus, I think it means unprofitable, or it means profitable maybe, but a play on words. He says he was unprofitable, but now he's profitable. I was unprofitable, but the grace of God, and now I'm profitable. Onesimus, amazing story. So doesn't grace change lives? Hasn't grace changed our lives? As Paul concludes in that verse where he says, oh, but the grace of God that was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than them all, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. And so it should be in the life of every grace Christian, that we could say, I am what I am by the grace of God. I was the grace of God I am, but more than that, the grace that was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but it has changed my life. And now I have become a laborer, a servant, a minister, a person of grace. Oh, let us grow in the grace of Christ. Let us take that time to pause and say, I am what I am by the grace of God. Let us love grace. Let us be a student of grace, and let us grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ. Amen. So, Father, we just, we commit this to prayer in these moments. We pray for each one listening today. We pray, that you would show us afresh your grace. You would draw our hearts. You would expand our coast. You would change our lives, that more and more we would understand your grace, and more we would, as we receive abundant grace, we would labor more abundantly. And we pray for that to be borne out in our own lives. Perhaps there's one listening today, you're not sure of your salvation. Oh, Jesus loves you. He died for you, and salvation is a gift of grace. And in this moment, say, oh, Jesus, come into my life, be my Savior, that I may be born again by grace through faith. Thank you for saving me today, and lead me in the way. In Jesus' name, bless each one. Amen. Amen. God bless you.